Part 2 of this episode, Gavin Thomas and I talk about France's ban on face coverings and the subsequent partying in the streets by French Muslims, as well as the turgid rise and fall of Anthony Weiner. All on today's...
Bizzle, waggle, dangle. Bizzle, waggle, dangle. Bizzle, waggle, 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 waggle. Bizzle, waggle, dangle. Bizzle, waggle, dangle. Bizzle, waggle, 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 waggle.
So France, they had some riots recently because they have a, since 2011, they've had a ban on any...
Baguettes!
They've had a ban on baguettes, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You think they'd be really prideful about that.
No,
they put a ban on face coverings in public, which includes burqas.
The hijab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the difference between that and a burqa?
A burqa's full tilt boogie all the way down to the ankles, yeah. Can't see anything. I think a hijab is just the head and maybe face.
That's absolutely right. Yeah.
So they've had a ban on that, which they say is to empower women. It's not specifically about Muslims, because it bans, like, they also have a law against overt religious symbols in public schools.
Right.
Mm. So, like, you can't wear a turban.
Or have a cross on the wall.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I totally agree with. But they've had some riots.
Yeah, but what if you're Sikh and you're just supposed to keep your long-ass hair fucking kept up inside of your turban?
I don't know what you're supposed to do with that shit, man. It gets long. Like, you're supposed to...
I'm just saying, put on my hair.
Shedding all over the classroom. Fuck. It gets caught in the drains.
It's Sikh.
Like...
But yeah, they had some riots about it because there was... So this guy and his wife are walking around. She's in the burqa. Police officer confronts her about it, and he attacks the police officer, and they just had some riots, 400 or so people burning trash cans in the street and trashing bus stops and doing all sorts of stuff. But let me read some of the... I looked up some of the stuff here. Let's see. Doesn't apply in private vehicles or in churches, which, okay. The government says masks are a security risk and a social hindrance. The former French president, which is the one that put it into effect.
Sarkozy.
Said that the law was aimed to aid the French policy of minority assimilation.
His wife is hot.
He's French. Helping Muslim,
she's also a pop star.
Muslim immigrants to integrate fully into French society. Sarkozy called the burqa a walking coffin, which is maybe a little far. But I thought it was very interesting because a lot of these European countries, because it is so, we're used to in America being such a, you know, whatever, we've got Italians and French and whatever. But over there, very racist.
But I mean, that's like the policy with the minarets. You know about this, correctly? You know about this, correct? The minarets, like, I believe, I don't know if it's the Netherlands or if it's another Scandinavian country, but there's a policy that you can't build minarets into the skyline.
Mm.
And there was actually, there was an ad campaign that was done that had, like, white sheep and black sheep divided and, like, black crows settling on top of, you know, I mean... It's racist. I mean, it's like if the crows in Dumbo singing, "When I see an elephant fly, fried chicken," are racist, that shit's racist.
WB.
Right, but you are correct that the countries are very, compared to the U.S., very homogenized. They have a very specific culture that they're proud of. Hold on.
Okay.
So, let's see. So, from 2003, policy requires new immigrants to attend courses on French language and culture in order to qualify for residence permits.
French culture.
That's him filleting baguettes. If you're caught... If you're caught in public, any sort of facial mask, fine of 150 euros, or citizenship education, which I thought was interesting, which is pretty much a discussion, or you have to go take a French citizenship course, pretty much like a re-education with a fine. The bill penalizes with a fine of 30,000 euros and 1 year in prison anyone who forces another to wear face coverings, which I think is an interesting tweak on that. So as if, you know...
You're making your wife do it.
If you're making your wife do it, it's almost like a slavery type of thing.
Right. So Batman's forcing Robin to take up the mask against his will.
There's a lot to be unraveled in that. But I wanted to, I just wanted to talk about that. See what you guys thought about that law, about the...
Well, okay, so I actually think about this a lot, not in just this context, but in, like, the anti-austerity measure riots in Greece. The thing is...
Well, that's their main export now.
Anti-austerity riots.
No, riots. That's Greece's main export.
Nationalism and anarchy.
If you need riots, come to Greece.
I think it's very interesting that... Because America is so big, and that we actually forget how big and broad our country is. Sometimes, like, when I wake up in the morning and look down at my penis. And it's very interesting because a lot of these countries are the size of Georgia.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
New York or California. California is bigger than most of them.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that you are having discourse on such a smaller scale, and identity, national identity, cultural identity is operating on such a smaller scale. So it's hard for us as Americans to kind of process this, like, well, why would you ever do that when we let everybody come to this country supposedly and like be themselves and do what they're supposed to do? Supposedly. Well, we have enough room for everybody. We also are a young country comparatively.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially when you're in, once again, as I bring up the fucking, the Nordic heritage and like Scandinavia, for instance, where a lot of this anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, no minarets on our skyline. I mean, these people have been around for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, this is like either as long as Christianity or before Christianity, and certainly longer than Islam. And they've been doing it their way for a long time. Now,
they have a cohesive culture to maintain, whereas America, like, that's not the point of
right.
America.
And so, and when I say that, in no means am I trying to say that discrimination or outlawing other things is, you know, the right way to go. But I kind of empathize with it because, and this is a very white person point of view. If, say, for instance, say it was inverted, okay? And say that, like, Ghana had invaded England and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, you had this, like, very strong tradition of Ghanaian culture, and then you had like white folks coming around and being like, you know what, you shouldn't like we don't wear those masks, like you want us to wear like, or whatever the cultural tradition is, like we don't do it your way. You have a very small country of a very small people. I mean, I feel like live and let live should always be the MO, but what if there's like,
well, I feel like there's a specific practical part to this, in that you're walking around with your entire face covered, which is, you know, people, they look at their faces. They look at each other's faces, but to like get to know you and stuff.
I don't think that's the issue. I think
it's definitely part of it.
No, I think that there's, okay, so,
well, that's where, because they specifically cited that it was
That's because they're afraid of terrorists and they don't want people fucking hiding in masks running around. I don't think it has anything to do with them like wanting to make eye contact with you and smiling in public, like, oh, hey, pretty lady, how are you? Take that mask off for me. I think it's more a fear of like Algerian dissidents and like,
I mean, the assumption is like, if you wear that hijab, you're more likely to be a terrorist.
Right.
That's what it is.
I think that's actually cuts more to the quick. Like, they're kind of like, and you know what, actually,
well, I'm just speaking more practically. If I'm out and I see a guy with a mask on, I'm like, well, that's weird.
No, but this is a woman or in a hijab. That's different.
Right.
A woman in a hijab is not as threatening as a dude in a fucking mask. Those are two different things. I see a woman in,
well, that's, or
I mean, in a burqa, rather. I'm using the wrong term.
Women can be just as threatening.
Of course they can.
There
might be fucking C4 plastered all around her fucking belly.
I would not want to fuck with Catwoman, man. I'm just saying.
Or she might be uppity.
But I guess my point though is this, is that like in America, because of this kind of like melting pot and the breadth of room that we have for everybody, the ideas of like social equality, religious freedom, and all these kind of things, while none of them are actually manifested completely, have a lot more breathing space than in a country that's smaller than fucking Texas, where like that has been doing what it's been doing since Charlemagne. I mean, and like, and it's very hard to like,
it's hard, but like it also was very hard to go from the horse and buggy to the car, but most countries who want to have some sort of play in the industrialized economy have done it.
Well, that's what I was going
to
ask about.
Yeah, but I don't think France thinks that they need these people to participate in the industrial economy. I'm not like, once again, I'm playing devil's advocate, and I am no way, whatever, I don't feel like I need to validate myself. Fuck you guys. Anyway, my point though is that like, they have a self-sustained populace. They don't, like, we rely on immigrant labor, and I'm not saying that, like, the French and the English don't. I mean, there are definitely, that's happening in both of those places. I mean, look at fucking people from Africa who immigrated to England, or Jamaicans in England. Like, there's definitely a working class minority that exists, just like, you know, the Latino American culture and the Mexican culture here in America. I mean, there are people doing jobs that nobody else will do. That's all well and good. I guess what I'm saying is that France is like your drunk racist uncle at the table. He's just going ahead and saying out loud what most people are probably thinking in rural Georgia. Like, and I guess I'm not trying to justify their actions. I guess I'm just trying to say that, like, as Americans, you have to look at it as operating on a much smaller scale. And the way that they feel the impact of these things culturally resonates way larger than the way that we view things, where everybody can come and be,
yeah,
whatever, practice whatever they want.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that's a, you raised some very interesting points, but like when France makes a huge deal of, whenever countries make a huge deal of like freedom, whatever that looks like to you, whenever you are having a law that's specifically targeted to a certain people to like hinder their self-expression or religious expression or whatever the hell that is. Like,
well,
it's just...
Well, dude, the French are racist as shit. Look at the way they treated the Algerians for fucking years. I mean,
yeah, no,
they
dude.
Fucking... Algerians, like, live in our version of the ghetto. Like, fucking, you know... high-rise apartments that would rival Queensbridge in New York. Like, projects. And, you know... It's very, I mean, look, like I said, I'm not siding with the French at all.
Yeah, I'm not.
I mean, like, what they did to, like, Algeria and other parts of Africa, mm-hmm. like, you know what? You gotta reap what you sow, and, like, fuck you for, like, kind of now trying to, like, backpedal and be like, well, now we can't have this thing. Mm-hmm. But these are the countries that you invaded and colonized. Mm-hmm. You made them learn how to speak French. They're coming to fucking...
Senegal would not be a French-speaking country without France.
Right. And so, like, now you're gonna tell these people who you... you know, burdened with your own fucking cultural brand, and now they're coming back to roost, and you're gonna be upset about it?
But I just want to eat frog legs and smoke my cigarette by the Seine.
99 cigarette. I mean,
I don't know. I
can understand it.
Yeah.
I kind of agree just on the practical societal laws that we all abide by, in that, you know, if you're walking around and you see a bunch of dudes, like, wearing bandanas across their faces, like, you can't see their face, like, I'm gonna feel a little weird.
I mean,
and I know it's a religious thing, that's fine, whatever, but just as far as, you know, like, the same rule that we all agreed was okay, in that, you know, no overt religious symbols in school,
yeah.
Like, I get it, that's just practical, and...
But I feel like the assumption, though, of the law is, like, this is okay to outlaw because it makes a larger amount of the populace uncomfortable. It's like, theoretically, we can make a law that, you know, people shouldn't have body marking or piercings, because right. that makes... I mean, I think to right. a degree, that makes a large part of the people in this country uncomfortable. Tattoos and piercings.
That's a good point. But I feel like showing... I feel like just hiding your face is a different... That's on a whole different level.
But that's an assumption on, like, a Western point of view, though.
It is, but this, again, like we were saying, like, with America...
Westside!
America, you know, whatever. We got this enormous space to do whatever you want. These yeah. countries have been around for so extremely long, they're, like, trying to preserve their culture.
Well, it's, like, space, and I think they're...
Yeah. Hold on.
No, you're in the bathroom. You don't get to have your say.
I feel like space doesn't really give you an excuse. Like,
Washington, but it does.
Washington's very... I mean, Washington only has like 12 electoral votes, but some of the most expansive refugee population in the United States. How does that work then?
Well, okay, so...
But we don't have, like, Washington culture. We're not like, we've been around for 3,000 years. Yeah. We are French. We are this. This is our culture.
Yeah,
this is our country.
Okay.
It's like, we're Washington.
Yeah,
it's
but, okay, but
it's America.
Right, but let's... All right, let's look at it in a different dynamic.
Y'all listen to Band of Horses? All right, you're good.
Ben. Right. Why are you having a southern accent in Washington?
Because I'm from Washington, okay?
Well, actually, okay. The country accent... is actually universal. You can go to places in fucking rural New York and
no,
people sound country.
That's a stand-up. Like, that's David Cross's stand-up where he's like, redneck is across, it doesn't matter where you're from, redneck is the same.
Well, like, gay is the same. You know, it's just like, Jesus was gay. You'd be like, hey, let me wash your feet. But, so, the thing is that, like, we are now in, obviously, 2013.
Wait a minute, so are you not in favor or in favor of this?
He's playing devil's advocate.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I know you are, but what's your stance?
Let me finish what I'm saying, and then I'll come to a conclusion in a second.
Okay.
Don't be Bill O'Reilly!
I'm working through this. So, this is the other side of it that I just thought of while I was away for a moment.
Urinating.
Actually, smoking a cigarette.
Just wondering why.
Okay, so if you look at, like, the post-colonial world, right, and you have... Now, the argument is to be made, because we've said this out loud now already, that, yeah, they've been around for this long, they have this culture. Oh, guess what? Africa was there before everybody else, and you guys fucking went down there and imposed culture upon them.
Yep.
Now...
There's a reason my
That's not an argument.
Hold on. All I'm saying is this. Let me finish what I'm saying. now that that's happened, right, and we do not live in an insular world anymore, and travel and information and, you know, culture is disseminated in a completely different fashion. What gives Europeans the right to dictate the evolution of their culture based on the fact that the chickens are coming home to roost? Because now you have...
What did he just say?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a Malcolm X quote. And for some of you
who don't... Oh, chickens now, huh?
And for some of you who don't like President Obama, that is a Jeremiah Wright quote. But mostly it's a Malcolm X quote.
It's a Malcolm X quote. And look, the fact of the matter is that, like, you know, xenophobia and cultural elitism really don't have any place in the 21st century. You can, just because, look, keep the Louvre. There's now a big fucking pyramid on top of the Louvre made of glass. They let some artists add modernity to something that was very classical. The fact of the matter is that, like, the French occupation of Senegal and Algeria and Nigeria, Niger, like, fucking, like, this is all, you did this already. How can you exclude these people from participating in the culture at large when you already went and did this?
I was thinking more along those lines, but just as far as that, it's a, I mean, it's, what's the term for it? I mean, the trade and the economy and everything, it's the whole world now. Globalism.
Globalization.
And that, it's like... You're pretty much trying to stymie progress by, you know, I get that, like, we are French, we want to keep the French culture and stuff, yeah. But it's like, everything is everything now.
Mm-hmm.
In 100 years, yeah. Everyone's going to have fucked each other. The babies are going to be everywhere, and they're not going to look like you anymore. So what?
They're going to look like...
Now you're going to have a bunch of, you know...
A bunch of brown-speaking French people.
I tell you.
And let me tell you, like...
But yeah, like, so how long... I get what you're trying to do, and I appreciate the spirit of it. But, I mean, not like the racist overtones to many of it, but...
The spirit!
The fact that you're like, we've had a very distinct culture for a long time, but it's like...
Okay.
Dude, we're all everyone now. Yeah. You can't stop progress.
Okay. But no, and then, so here, but here's the larger umbrella, which all that sits under, which is...
The larger turtleneck
that's wrapped around all of us, is that the neglect with which Africa has, as a continent, has been shown... Since the colonial era and post-colonialism, if we had just done, and when I say we, I mean white people, and when I say white people, I mean Western Europe and the States.
When I say Western Europe, I mean Wally.
I mean, had done a better job of actually, like, kind of nurturing the continent, that maybe you wouldn't have this problem of people having to immigrate to your country if you hadn't fucked it up so fucking bad in the first place. You know, it's not...
How do you make that argument? And, like, you're on the floor here with Parliament, whatever you want to say, like...
Yeah, but, you know, we kind of fucked shit up, so...
Just like what you just did.
Put my wig on and I just say that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, well, the U.S. is never going to give black people their 40 acres and a mule. I mean...
Well, so I mean, it's the same difference. Like, we can't... We've gone too far past that to even talk about it.
Too far past.
But, okay, no.
What, are we going to give fucking Olive Garden gift certificates to everybody? What are we going to do to make this right? You can't make it right.
I mean...
Okay, but with that being said, a little bit of cultural tolerance with regards to other people's cultural practices,
yes,
would not be above and beyond board. I mean...
I guess what I'm saying is that I have no problem with the whole, like, what they're talking about, the cultural assimilation, where it's like, you want to move to France? Okay, gotta learn about our culture, gotta learn to speak French.
The States...
Sounds totally reasonable to me.
Yeah. The States are doing that right now. I mean, with the new, the Gang of Eight or whatever, the new immigration policy...
Which is not gonna pass.
What is that?
The Gang of Eight. It's a bipartisan committee headed up by Charles Schumer and...
John McCain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
we're Democrats, we're Republicans.
And basically the idea is that, like, there are austerity measures.
P-O-W!
I just imagine, like, the Gang of Eight walking through the
whoop,
Senate.
Whoop, whoop!
Snapping, yeah, right?
Done it. Done it. Well, John McCain...
Got a rocket in my pocket. Be cool, boy. No, but I mean... Okay, but so, like, they have this bipartisan committee, and part of it is, like, you have...
Bro, they're too pain in your face, and they'll stab you right in the gut.
Austerity measures are put in place for...
Rich people.
children of immigrants, they can stay. And but if your parents are immigrants, they have to learn the language, they have to do all this other stuff. I mean, you have to go through this bureaucratic kind of like process in order to do that. All the meanwhile, they're still working up on putting a bigger fence and all this other dumb shit. But
that's why I always think, like, because I hear people, they're like, you know, hey, you know, why do I gotta still fucking push one for English? Give me a break. It's America. It's like, well, we legally...
It's America, so we have all of those languages here. Yeah. And like,
right. But it's like, if you want that to happen, why don't you make English the official language? Then you actually have something to argue about.
There's no language here. You learn to speak English and write it correctly, and then we can fucking have an argument about it. Because the kid who had the best grammar, technically, writing-wise, as far as, like, no comma splices, knew what a gerund was, and all this shit, was a Mexican immigrant because he had to learn the language. You fuck sticks go to school and, like, want to try to, like, eat each other's tater tots and pinch fucking Jenny Warmcrotch on the fucking titty. Like, you don't actually pay attention in class.
Truth.com.
You want to have a fucking... You want to have, like, a conversation about...
Is that
the use
warm crotch?
Warm crotch.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just like... People are just like, learn English. Like, half the fucking country doesn't know
proper English. We don't
know
English either,
buddy. Yeah, we really don't. How is color supposed to be spelled?
There are symbols on McDonald's fucking registers instead of words. So you press the picture of the fucking hamburger and not what it actually is. Are you kidding me? Yeah. With this shit about, like, cultural elitism. Like, yo, if somebody...
Well, so a good example of that, which I actually like, is that Denmark is a Christian country, legally, in the government. What I like about that is that, so if you are like, I'm a Christian, and you file as such, you, a portion of your taxes go to the church. But you, they recognize fucking Norse and Jedi now.
Yes!
So if you go like, well, I'm Jedi, then they're like, cool, your money doesn't have to go to the church. Awesome. Let's awesome. Make this shit official so we can get this categorized. Like, I can file as Norse and my money doesn't have to go to your stupid religion. Awesome. Thank you.
Dude.
Go ahead and be Christian. I don't care.
When I was in Iceland... Iceland is a very small...
I've heard it's pretty cool there.
It's amazing. I highly recommend it.
No, I can't do it anymore.
Too late.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Fuck you, you don't know Marvel.
So they have this very, like... I mean, most of them are cousins in some long, weird way. I mean, it's like, there's only 100,000 some odd people there.
Basically like the cell.
Basically like
the cell. We heard about that, what we talked about, the app for Iceland.
Yeah, the app
they
for Iceland.
They have an app
to make sure that you're not fucking your cousin.
It's that small that everyone is kind of related in some way, and they actually made an app so that you can be like, oh, I just met this girl named Julie, blah, blah, blah. Boop, blah, boop, boop, boop. Oh, shit, I'm related.
But with that being said, funny enough, they have a very vibrant Thai community there.
The fuck did that happen?
That's weird.
Yeah. Right? Like, what the fuck? But while they are very proud of their Nordic heritage and their Viking ancestry and, you know, the fact that they've kept this very specific culture alive for such a long period of time, you know... There was not at a single point did I ever feel like anybody was like, fuck these Thai people. And it's the restaurants that we went to were full. Like, folks were there. It was embraced. I mean, I guess they haven't reached the tipping point of feeling like they're being, like, impinged upon culturally. But, I mean, shit, of an island of 100,000 people, if you were to, like, do the math and kind of, like, compare that to, say, one France or... Finland or Sweden, where these people are railing against. I'd be interested to see what the numbers are as far as, like, quantitatively, like, this is the amount of Thai people we have to this many Icelandicers. Where is the tipping point for them to be, like, freaking, like, we can't worship Buddha? Like, God, we're going to lose all of our heritage start to fucking be Buddhist.
Well, I think that's not so much a problem up there, because their culture is being depressed and covered in snow. Which, it's like, you might move here, but you're going to be that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, the last thing I'll say about this is, like, I just think it's, like, a sign of humongous hubris by France, which of a lot of countries has the least amount of reasons to have any sort of hubris whatsoever.
I would just like to point out that he said humongous hubris, and that's a great use of alliteration.
Ladies.
Hi.
English major. But it's just like France, like Great Britain, like, sorry guys, but you don't matter anymore.
You really don't. Like, the global economy, like, it's gonna, I mean, money is now the most important. It's more important than language. It's more important than religion. Money is vast becoming, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Look, it's like the connector to humanity. And if you don't get on board, you're gonna lose those greenbacks, or what we're gonna be calling soon euros.
Space bucks.
Space bucks. To us people down in sub-Saharan Africa. That's all I'll say about that. With a wink and a nod. But I don't know, like, well, Ian, you didn't look like too much today, but ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Our favorite congressman.
Anthony Weiner.
It's Weiner, all right.
I'm just going to call him Weiner because he acts like one. The fact, well, we
and
all...
uses it as a stage prop way more than...
Well, it's just unfortunate. Well, the problems he's had with that type of name. Like, I don't know, get an eating disorder.
Well, it's
don't
just...
Don't have a thing with sex. Like,
well, yeah. You know, do you think the two are, like, corollary? Like, maybe, like, because of all of the penis jokes he had to endure as a small child, he now has to show his fucking penis to everybody?
Maybe. I'm just saying, if my last name's Fatty McGee, like, I'm going to keep my weight down.
Yeah. Well, he deserves this, then. He really deserves it.
No, that's very true.
Yeah, like, if he... Like,
well, more than ways than one. He's getting caught. I mean, really, I feel like if you're in that position, you get caught for that kind of ridiculousness. I can kind of understand his arrogance in that, like, well, what's the chances I would get caught again? What a ridiculous thing this happened. Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Again.
He got caught again. Today, he, as was made public by TheDirty.com, apparently, he was... Well, okay, Anthony Weiner resigned from Congress as New York Congressman. I'm sorry, a Brooklyn Borough Congressman, to be more specific, in June of 2011. All right, today is July 2013. He apparently carried on a relationship with a young woman from I think, it was like August 2011 to November 2012. November 2012. So after he went and made the typical tearful confession, he found it, you know, maybe good sport just to go on and do the exact same thing that got him booted from the House of Representatives in the first place. The exact same thing!
I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of have that same outlook on life. It's like, what's the chances? Really, what are the chances?
Dude, listen, as a long-standing philanderer who's cheated on every one of his girlfriends except for the last one, you know, my buddy once told me, you know what? They say you can't have your cake and eat it too. I say don't talk with your mouth full. Like, if you're gonna practice... You know.
Well, don't do it on the computer.
Exactly. Or on your phone. I mean, dude, the mayor of Detroit got busted for texting dirty messages to his, like, his aide, his, like, secretary or, like, his aide. I can't remember which one. And they, when he went to trial, they transcribed the entire thing. And, like, everybody knew all the fucking smut that he was sending.
That's the part that doesn't make sense, because give me a break. We ain't judging you on fucking around with other people. Every goddamn president and person in power has done that forever.
Ever.
But don't do it where somebody, all they have to do is go, boop, screenshot.
Yeah.
And then your entire career is fucked. Like, I understand that your dick is very impulsive. Mine is as well, as are all men's, but...
Yes, yeah.
What...
I mean, just, it makes no sense, especially, I mean, having, I mean...
Well, okay.
Being a representative, I think you make about $125,000 a year.
Yeah, well, that's your base
salary. No, but hold on. Let's pull back for a second.
Pull back. I'm pulling back.
And not to play fucking Psych Major 101, but...
What?
Compulsive gamblers... Sex addicts.
New York Jews.
I mean, the thing is, there are people out there, and it doesn't matter how successful they are, none of this matters. It's the thrill of the possibility of losing everything that is their compulsion. Now, I'm not saying that this is necessarily the case with this individual, but, like, obviously, when you can't learn from something...
Most people don't know, it is Anthony Danger Weiner.
Danger?
Danger Weiner.
Oh, Carlos Danger, to be precise.
But I'm just, but you know, like, I guess my point is that, like, there are people out
God,
there.
God, I wish my name was Carlos Danger.
I wish it was too. Like, I'd be like, hey, what do you want to do tonight, Beyonce? Oh, let's go out with Carlos Danger.
Muchos dangerous to Had a repair.
But, you know, it's like, failure of success is a real thing. And like, there are people who are super, they're like super brilliant. They can be very successful, but that's not enough for them. The compulsion to push it until you fail or until you're caught, like riding that razor's edge. I mean, I can't speak
up. But the amount of work it takes to get into public office, you think.
Okay, but hold on.
Holding.
All right.
I've got two.
I know this guy. He, you know, started off just like drinking, doing blow. Hold on. Just listen.
Ian is the most compassionate
person. So my friend. So, okay. Is this a problem, doctor?
So.
Can you get rabies from a raccoon vagina? That's all. It's my friend. I've decided to go his
So he is very successful. Ends up getting into heroin, loses it all, loses everything. Now he's done this once already. Gets into rehab.
Successful band, Ballast and Baines.
gets clean, is sober for a little while, rebuilds it all. House on the hill, the entire nine, and like he's sitting in his swimming pool one day, sun's out, beautiful day, floating on the fucking, you know, raft in the back or whatever the fuck. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know what would make this day even better? It's a speedball. And for those of you who don't know, that's a little bit of heroin with a little bit of coke all mixed up in a fucking syringe and you shoot it right into your vein.
I can do anything.
And he goes straight back down, loses it all again, loses the house, loses both of the Mercedes Benz, loses his wife, everything. Gone again, hits rock bottom, comes back up, goes back into rehab, starts going to NA meetings, and fucking starts all over again. There are people with proclivities that are like unfathomable to folks who are just trying to like struggle in the day to day, but they're so hyper smart or so charismatic or a combination of both that the rise and fall is as much of an addiction as the success itself. And success is not the barometer which a lot of people measure their lives on. It's actually dancing on the edge of the razor blade, both literally and figuratively.
Well,
you can't do that literally.
You'd hurt your feet. Well, here's the thing. I feel like in American politics, like people don't really give a fuck if you cheat on your wife. In American politics, they don't. They don't.
Only if you do it with another man in a bathroom and you're a Republican.
Then it's just late night comedy fodder. But like honestly, by and large, people don't fucking care. People do care if you get caught though.
Right.
Yeah, they do care. Like people.
Well, that is the basis of Christianity in America. It's like. Right. I mean, I'm saying like. Like, you can fucking do whatever as long as you show up to church on Sunday, but as soon as you are fucking a derelict, if you are a deviant personality, if you are somehow, like, you know, and America loves its redemption stories, which is the reason why, like, Wiener could run again, or what's-his-face, he went off to Argentina and got reelected.
Mark Sanford.
Yes, in South Carolina?
Yes, South Carolina.
They love a good redemption story. I mean, like, what's the name? There's the dude who's not, he's not Westbrook, but he was in Denver, and he had a huge ministry there, and got caught doing meth with a male prostitute, and like, I'm healed, I'm back. And people
run to that shit.
Yeah, and they love a good forgiveness story because everybody's doing dirt. What? Nobody's owning up to it.
Well, that was this like picture text thing I saw of, what's his face? Doesn't matter anymore. He had this, he was like, so I just want to let you all know that I've never done heroin. It's like, that's weird, no applause. Whereas if I had said, I used to be addicted to heroin and now I'm clean, would have got round of applause from everyone. He's like, isn't it weird that...
Well, okay, but no, I've had that precise thought before, where it's like, you have reformed yourself as a person. Now, maybe the person that you're currently with doesn't know the piece of shit that you used to be. In your mind, you're saying to yourself, do you understand that I've been completely faithful to you for the past 2 years? When I've cheated on every other girlfriend I've ever had. You can't say that to somebody though. You can't be like, you know, I've been faithful the entire time. Like there's no fucking gold star for the day on that one.
It's just some, like to quote Chris Rock, it's some shit you're supposed to do.
Right. And like the thing, but for the most part, people are floundering in the supposed to do's. Most of us can never get to that point. And that's actually the most interesting part about Christianity is that like the idea is that you try to walk in the image of Christ and Christ's teachings, and to fail is human, and you will be forgiven because he died for your sins. But you don't even make the fucking attempt. What? Like you're not even like, you know, it's like, I fell, I got up, I'm trying to be better, I'm working harder. But don't fucking take dick pics 8 months later and then try to like...
Well, Well, it's like the thing
he
is
he helps
like,
those that help themselves, but don't be stupid.
There's just like cultural cynicism I feel in the United States about anybody who runs for office. It's like, oh, you gotta be fucked up somehow.
No, but the thing like, is, yeah, but yeah, you know what? They do it to fucking athletes, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they do it to athletes, and then even in this current trend with corporate censorship of rap music, where like you guys are buying into rap music now, some 40 years later, that's been built on provocative content.
Yeah.
And now when people are being provocative and saying fucking crazy shit, you're dropping them from their ad campaign because now you can't deal with that. I wash my hands of you because you said something. I mean, look, I thought that Lil Wayne's comment about killing the pussy like Emmett Till was D-class A as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's not in good form. Have you listened to Lil Wayne's fucking catalog? Just because he compared fucking killing the pussy to a civil rights leader being murdered, have you listened to the rest of every fucking thing he said? This is not news. Yeah. Like,
well, I thought it was weird when Mike Tyson endorsed Welch's grape jelly. I was like, that seems weird.
Well, that's because he did prison time. So there was a use for that. But, you know, like, Rick Ross with the fucking line about putting the Molly in the girl's drink and fucking her while she was passed out. And then, like, Drake recently did something where he's had a line about autism and a fucking, in a rap. Like,
man, that guy's eyes are way too far apart.
I mean, maybe it was personal. Maybe it was autobiographical.
I'm just saying, that's a weird-looking fella.
And it was on the, like, fucking Canadian drama. What the fuck was that shit?
Dude, fucking Degrassi High, dude.
Degrassi.
The Next Generation, though. Not the original. Original Degrassi is actually great viewing. You should check it out if you have a chance.
Well, like, the thing... Oh.
I was just going to say, unlike American after-school programs...
What, we're polite all of a sudden?
They had issues like doing too much acid and jumping off of a bridge and getting paralyzed, teen pregnancy, drunk driving. Like, they addressed all of this stuff while, like, PBS in America was just like... I don't know. I feel maybe I shouldn't try out for the soccer team.
Right?
Like, maybe I'm not good enough.
But... I don't know, like, if you talk to a lot of Americans about Bill Clinton, like, they say they like him.
Of course they like him, because he's the most charismatic fucking president that we've had since Kennedy.
He's fucking charismatic as hell. But the thing is, like, most Americans will say that, and there have been surveys about this, that, like, they don't overwhelmingly approve of his personal life. And Bill Clinton, let's be honest, is still having affairs. There have been reports, but as recently as 2010.
I never understood that. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You know what? Tom Cruise, crazy guy, Scientologist, sociopath, I don't care. Find him charming.
Well, yeah, no one fucking gives a shit, but the fact that he's not getting caught.
But listen, you have to understand that, like, this country, from its inception, was the village on the hill, or the city on the hill. We are a bastion of Christian fortitude. We are the light that shines on the rest of the world. And while, you know, it wasn't until Reagan embraced the religious right in the 80s that became a policy as far as like the way we run our government. Inside of that, there is this very, and it's not Catholic, it's the
puritanical
idea of what our leaders are supposed to be like. This is not embraced in other cultures. Other people do not look at their leaders. They want them to be strong, they want to be decisive, but they don't look at them as being morally
well, it's like the French moral leaders. They're like, yeah, okay, you had a couple affairs. No big deal, brother. You're all right.
Yeah,
powerful like, men.
Balance our budget.
Listen, powerful men sleep with lots of women. It's just the way that it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, and inside of that is that, you know, to me, and I'm just going to take a second to actually like kind of like articulate this, but it's almost like Americans want to believe that America is this like special place. And when shit's not.
Special place.
And that is like somehow like morally better. And so that we need a leader who's a representation of this like morally better. And this is like the line of bullshit that we've been fed. And so like we expect, and that's why every president has to kind of like pander to, you know, oh, I go to church every Sunday and I love my wife and I have fucking 7 kids. So you know that I'm straight because I keep fucking her and putting one in her.
Yeah.
Like kind of thing. As opposed to somebody who's like a pragmatist who's like, you know what? I know what's best for you people. And, you know, if I could elect fucking Warren Buffett to fucking run the country, I would. Like, help us out, dude. Like, get this shit tight. Like, help us fucking redefine our economic strategy. Stop the two wars because we spend $800 billion a year on war when we have 425 million people on food stamps. Our education system is crumbling around us.
It is.
We are not the greatest country in the world anymore.
And if you want to sniff coke off a prostitute's ass,
if it
fun
does,
with it.
Come to work tomorrow and fucking do a good job. Yeah. Like, I don't think that, like, moral fortitude and leadership are necessarily have to be intertwined. They can be mutually exclusive. some, that being said, some of the most successful companies that have ever been run in this country are by fucking scumbags. Like, morality does not dictate success. And while it may engender you into like a kind of like the hearts and minds of humanity, I would rather have somebody come in and just get the fucking job done and like not pander to some sort of like 2,000-year-old idea of what it is to be a good person.
Well, it's like, I feel, for example, like more people were angry, I feel, at John Edwards when he cheated on his wife, duh, and then like
Newt Gingrich cheated on his wife and she had cancer.
Yeah.
Like, you people like overlook this. You pick and choose what you want to fucking like and dislike. Yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? Newt Gingrich has cheated on every single one of his wives, and this motherfucking can go on the 700 Club, which is like the most Christian fucking show on TV, with this old senile bastard and wax intellectual about like our policy problems.
He has an asshole. But like that's what I'm saying. Like, people in America don't care. If you cheat on your wife, they just care if you get caught. Like, I feel like people are angry at the fact that John Edwards got caught doing it. Like, well, that he got caught and he lied about it inartfully. Bill Clinton lied about cheating on his wife, but he did it very well. Legally, I was
Bill
just
Clinton,
like, that shit is
Bill
like,
Clinton also like, no. Bill Clinton also does the New York Times crossword puzzle in a pen, which is pretty much my defining line for like people who are fucking badass and people who are like soft. Like, if you can do the New York Times puzzle completely in a pen with no scratch marks, you're badass. And that's Bill Clinton. Like, Bill Clinton fucking will, like, he... And if you couldn't get the metaphor, he goes in there and fucking writes it down.
Are you talking down to the microphone?
I am talking down to the microphone. He writes it in the boxes. He puts it there and then fucking holds it to it. Like, no, the answer wasn't the Byzantium. Well, maybe it was.
Well, it should be.
Well, I don't know. When by Byzantium, I actually meant Constantinople, but the words wouldn't fit. But you understand what I'm saying, right? Yeah. It's okay, buddy. Like, I'm gonna play a saxophone for you. I'm part black. Like,
well, it's like, then he actually, he has no business, as he said in like 2011, being outraged, which is like one of my favorite words to describe like white people who get angry. Outraged. Like, he has no business saying to Anthony Weiner, I'm outraged. This is something you shouldn't have done.
No, it's some hypocritical bullshit.
Yeah, it really is.
I love how from now on, it's Weiner, but now it's Weiner.
Weiner.
Yeah, it's Weiner. It's Weiner.
It's Weiner. But, okay, but with that being said, I feel like that is kind of the outrage, quote unquote, is the status of political dialogue as far as, like, social media is concerned. Like, Twitter, Facebook, people can basically, they've turned where we used to have armchair umpires or armchair managers in sports. Now we have armchair politicians. They like to sit at home on their laptop or on their fucking smartphone and, you know, well, I would have done it like this, or this is wrong. But then there's no community activism that's backed up by it. None of them ever run for office. Nobody ever exerts the effort into actually participating, because they all feel like it's too far gone and now we're just all playing violins on the Titanic. It's just like, and I just want to lay in the fucking bed with chubby Kate Winslet and draw her naked while it's all going down. And she ran off to get into a boat.
Very nice image. Can't hold on to you. Let's just let you go. There's plenty of room on that door.
Right?
There's plenty of room on that door.
We could have both been on that.
Very easily. She wanted to be romantic. All right, I think we're at the end of the episode. You guys have a band name yet?
Last thing that was posited was Nunchuckers.
I'm more for that than the last one.
Yeah. It's still a work in progress. I am writing again. I'm in the middle of working on a new article for grungecake.com. Check out grungecake.com. They are based out of New York, and it is a cultural magazine. There's lots of different kind of things on there. I'm writing a review of Rhetoric Ramirez's new EP, Dear Diary.
So it's what, Shot in a Beer?
Beer in a Shot.
Beer in a Shot is the article.
Is the name of the column.
Shot in a Beer!
I've written...
do you Google to find this?
Yeah. Just if you go to grungecake.com, that's www.grungecake.com. If you look under columns, my column is Beer in a Shot. I've written from about everything from Kendrick Lamar's Mad City to Soft A versus Hard R with the use of the word nigger versus nigga. I've written about Twinkies and how I'm happy that they fucking fell into decline. And of course, they came back since I wrote that article. And then there's a couple of smaller things that I've just written about, like, you know, up and coming rappers. This one is going to be a little bit more in depth, and I'm happy to be picking up the pen again.
Thomas, anything to plug?
Ladies and gentlemen, there are only two people who are sexier than me. One is God, technically, and the other is a cactus.
And here I thought you were going to say me. God damn it!
All right, yeah, well, you heard it here first, I guess. Go to bwdpodcast.com. You can find the stuff. Look on iTunes. If you're not stupid, you can find it. Thanks, Gavin and Thomas. I'm going to hear more from you guys in the future, I'm sure.
Yay!
Yay. Bye! Did you know that I had a horse? I rode it down a well. I rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse, horse, horse. Hey, did you know that I had a horse? I rode it down a well. I rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse, horse, horse. Hey, did you know that I had a horse? I rode it down a well. I rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse, 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 horse. Hey, did you know that I had a horse? Did you know that I had a hey, did you know? Hey, did you know that I had a horse? I rode it down a well. I rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse, horse, horse. Hey, did